and to do a great work in our lives. Let faith, oh God, come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And we'll give you all the praise, and we give you all the glory. And all the church says, amen. 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 You may be seated. Praise God. It's never too late for Jesus. It's never too late for Jesus. Now, death is our greatest enemy. Though many of us, we live a life, we don't like to think about death. We live a life almost in denial that one day we will die. And especially the Australian culture. In Australian culture, we try and we like to hide death. We don't like to be faced with death. In fact, I was recently at a funeral up on in Brisbane for one of our great pastors. I went there, and one of the missionaries had come over from Indonesia, and I was walking in to the funeral with him, and he said to me as he's lingering around the casket, he says, "When are they going to open up the casket?" And he said, "I want to see him one more time." And I said, "Well, in our culture in Australia, we don't normally open the casket. We don't like to see that." But in fact, most cultures in the world, and especially everyone that's sitting here today from every other country in the world, you'd know that having an open casket is a very important part of the grieving process. In fact, in the Mizo culture, and this is one I know because I've experienced it, is that they will sit around the body for 24 hours singing and praising God and praying with all of the family with the body in the house, laying on a bed or something like that. But in our culture, we don't like to see death. In fact, corpses, just they go straight to the morgue, they go straight to the funeral home, and I guess we have this kind of this idea that it's out of sight, we don't want to see it. And many of us have probably never, even those that are old here today, have probably never even, especially Aussies, have probably never actually seen a dead body, let alone sit with somebody while they die. And so John 11 begins with a sick Lazarus. Everyone say Lazarus. This is the brother of Martha, that when she said, "If you were here, my brother wouldn't have died." And so his sisters, Lazarus' sisters, Mary and Martha, they sent to Jesus. They said, "Jesus, we want you to come to Bethany because our brother Lazarus is sick." And then we pick up the story in, I hope you keep your Bible open, at John chapter 11, verse 4. And we read the account here that Jesus doesn't go straight away. They call him to come, and he is sick. And they say, "The one that you love is sick." And they call, they say, "Jesus, we need you to come and pray for Lazarus. We need you to come and do something." But Jesus doesn't go straight away. In fact, Jesus delays 2 days. He waits 2 days before going and seeing Lazarus. And in that period of 2 days, Lazarus has died. I wonder why Jesus waited 2 days at such a, as we would think, such a terrible thing, such a urgent matter. And let me tell you why Jesus waited 2 days, is because Jesus knew exactly what he was doing. And it's never too late for Jesus. It's never too late. And so when the disciples arrive on the scene, Lazarus has now been dead. By the time they get there, he waited 2 days. But by the time they get there, Lazarus has been dead for 4 days. Everybody is mourning. The songs of lament are being sung. Everybody is looking at the ground. There's tears welling up in people's eyes. I guess people had probably started parting his possessions and reading his will. 4 days he'd been dead. In fact, one scripture tells us that he got to the point where he stinketh. And so Martha believed, as she went to Jesus, she said, "If you had been here, Jesus, if you had been here when we asked you to come, my brother Lazarus would not have died." But then in her second open-ended second statement, she implies that she had faith that even though you weren't here, we read it, "I still believe you can do something." But even now, she said, "I know." Everybody say, "I know." She said, "Even now, I know." She was saying, "Even now, I know that it's never too late for Jesus." And so Martha, she's grieving, of course. She's lost her brother Lazarus. But she is grieving with a different type of grief. She is grieving with hope. Everybody say hope. And you see, the Bible even says that when we grieve, we don't grieve like the unbelievers. When we grieve as Christians, when we grieve over as someone who has been born again and is a believer, we grieve with a hope because one day we will see them again. We grieve with hope, and Martha was grieving with hope. And as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, she went out. She goes out there and says, Lord, if you had been here, that's very confronting. I don't know if we would be. She was obviously frustrated to some extent. She was waiting. Given his great power, given the signs that he had performed already, Martha believed in with her whole heart that if Jesus had just been here, this would not have happened. But then she adds, but even now I know in verse 22 that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. It's never too late for Jesus. Now, a story like this is so easy for us to read because we know the end of the story. I'm the sort of person, when you watch a movie or you read a book, I'm very curious. I often will go to the end of the book just to make sure I know how it's going to end. Because I start feeling anxious and scared and wondering what's going to happen. I'm like, oh, I better just find out if they actually live. But Martha didn't know the end of the story. She didn't have what we have today, the Bible, to read the account and see how it all happened. And Jesus is about to do something that she does not expect. Jesus is about to raise Lazarus from the dead. And she expresses hope. Everybody say hope. She expresses hope even after he has died. Even after he has died. She says, I don't know how you're going to do it, Jesus, but I have hope that you can do something. And then Jesus replies in verse 23 of John chapter 11 and says, yes, your brother will rise again. And then a little bit of unbelief creeps in. Your brother will rise again. And she's thinking, does Jesus mean that in the resurrection that he's going to rise again? And she's thinking, well, surely he's not going to be raised from the dead. But yeah, one day he will rise again when Jesus comes back. And so she expresses hope even when she's got a dead corpse right in front of her. The tomb has been, the stone has been rolled in front of the tomb. And Martha says, even now I know, God, that you can do something. I've come to tell somebody today that it's never too late for Jesus. Somebody can take hope today. Maybe you're grieving today over something. Maybe it's not the death of somebody, but maybe it's the death of a situation. Maybe it's a lost loved one. Maybe it's something that's going on right now, and all you can see is a dead body, a dead circumstance, a situation that seemingly has no hope. But I've come to encourage you with the words of Martha, that even though Jesus is not on time, when on your time, Jesus is never late. And nothing is impossible with my Jesus. Nothing is never too late. Come on, somebody. It's never too late for Jesus. Somebody says, well, Pastor, that's a lot of faith to have. That's a lot of faith. Now, contained within the Bible, we find approximately 4,000 years of history. There are many stories as we read the scriptures of many great things that happened. There are records of the lives of great men and women. Everybody say great. Great men and women. Whether it's a story of tragedy or triumph, it's there in the Bible. Tragedy of great men and women, triumphs of great men and women, stories of good and evil, stories of joy and sorrow. And I'm glad that the Bible doesn't just give us the highlights, but it also gives us the lowlights. And so somebody like Adam and Eve, for instance, God was there not just when things went well, but God was also there when things went bad. God wasn't always just there on the mountaintop, but he was also there in the valley. God was not always there on the good times, but he was also there in the bad times. With Adam and Eve, yes, he was there in the cool of the day. When Adam in creation, before sin, God was there walking in the garden. But he was also there when Adam sinned and tried to cover himself up. God was there when Abraham left the Ur of the Chaldees. Yes, he was there. He was even there when Isaac, the son of promise, was born. But he was also there, not just when the son of promise was born, but God was also there when Abraham's faith faltered and failed with Hagar. God was there at the good times, and he was there at the bad times. God was there when David slew Goliath. But God was also there when David committed adultery with Bathsheba. God was there when Peter preached at Pentecost. But he was also there when Peter denied him three times. From the beginning to the end, from creation to revelation, from Genesis to the end of the book, when Satan is bound and cast into hell, all through every situation, whether mountain or valley, whether good or bad, God was always there. And there is no situation, there is no trial, there is no difficulty, there is nothing too messy for my God. There is, and you may be here today and you say, Pastor, my life isn't a mess. God not going to want to touch it. Let me tell you, God comes, even though while we were sinners, he died for us. He reaches out to us while we are in the miry clay. I've come to tell you it's never too late. For who? For Jesus. It's never too late. It's never too late. Jeremiah 32 verse 17 says this, Ah, Lord God. Behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out thy arm. And let's read it together. There is nothing too hard for thee. Jeremiah 32 verse 27, skipping down a few verses in 10, in fact, it says, Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. I am the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? I am the God of all flesh. Get it? All flesh. Good, bad, ugly, messy, clean, whatever. I am the God of all flesh, and there's nothing too hard for me. No mess, no trouble, no situation, no relationship, no financial issues. There is nothing too hard for my God. And so when Jesus is strutting his way over to see Martha and Mary and that dead body, he knew everything was under control, because it's never too late for my Jesus. It's never too late for Jesus. Jesus is still the answer to your stinking problem. You know, that situation had become so bad that it began to smell. They said, Oh, Jesus, you don't want to go near that body. You don't want to raise him up. He stinketh. Jesus is still the answer to your stinking problem. Jesus is still the answer to your mess. Mark chapter 10 and verse 27 says this, And Jesus looking upon them saith, With men it is impossible. Everyone say, with men. With men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. I am the God of all flesh. There is nothing too hard for me. So I wonder where you are with your faith today. I wonder where your walk with God is and where your faith stands today. It may not be the lack of your faith that got you in this problem, but it is going to be the strength of your faith that is going to get you through the problem. It may not be your lack of faith that got you in this situation. But let me tell you what is going to get you out of the situation. It is going to be your faith. And somebody today is stuck in a pit. Somebody today is stuck in a circumstance. Somebody is surrounded by dead things. Dead bodies, dead situations. All you can see is mess. All you can see is trouble and trial. Yes, you've tried man, but no, things are impossible with man. Mark tells us. But you've tried everything. You've tried doctors. You've tried finance. You've tried everything you possibly can. But let me tell you what's going to get you out. It's going to be your faith. You've got to believe, just like Martha said. Martha said, Jesus, if you were here a little bit sooner, this would not have happened. But even now I know that even though we're faced with a dead body, even though we're faced with something that seems like an impossibility, even now I know, God, it's not too late for you. It's never too late for Jesus. Clap your hands to the Lord. Now, we're not exactly entirely sure about how they met. And we don't know very much about the friendship between Jesus and Lazarus and Mary and Martha. Some believe that Mary, Martha, and Lazarus were somehow related to Jesus. We don't know that for sure. But we do know that they had a deep friendship. They had a love for each other. They knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus loved them. They knew that Jesus loved them. And in return, Jesus, in return, recognized their unshakable confidence in him. But I want you to notice where the story starts. God's word does not start the story of Lazarus with Lazarus' sickness. It starts not with sickness, but the story starts with relationship. Everybody say relationship. See, a lot of times when we come to God, the story starts with sickness, a trouble, a need. But the story of Lazarus doesn't start with sickness. It starts with a relationship. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it says, "For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him." Miracles begin with relationship. Now, I see a lot of people trying to exercise their faith in God without a relationship with God. In fact, I see it a lot of times. People come to church, they come to the pastor, they come to get help when things are bad. Even though they have no relationship with God, even though they haven't been obeying the word, they've never prayed a prayer, but suddenly they turn up to the house of God, they turn up to talk to a man of God. Why? Because they've got a need. And they say, well, I've got faith. And the reality is they don't have a relationship with God. And I believe God can do miracles for people that cry out to him, even though they don't have a relationship. But right here, this story started with a relationship. The Bible says that when we come to God, we must believe that he is. There must be a relationship. We must know that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And sometimes we try to get God to move us. We try to get God, I need you to do this. I need you to do that. But the reality is we don't even speak to him. When was the last time we prayed? When was the last time we were reading the word? When was the last time we worshiped him? When was the last time you served him? And so we want to get God to move for us, but there's no relationship. And so God becomes like a genie in a bottle. He just kind of pops out when we need him. We put him back in his bottle and say, okay, you fix that now. Now I can go on with my life. No, God desires a relationship. And in the time of trouble, we show up and we say, God, I want you to do something for me. But I come to tell you today that miracles start with relationship. And Lazarus' miracle started with a relationship. In John 11, verse 3, it says, "Therefore the sisters sent to him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick." Jesus, the one that you love, is sick. She said, "Jesus, come." You know, Jesus didn't need to know his name. Jesus knew who he was. She knew that Jesus would come regardless of what was happening. And when Jesus gets the message, he will come. Yes, he will come in his own time and he will heal. Praise God. We pick up the story in John 11, verse 4 and 5. When Jesus heard that, he said, "This sickness is not unto death. It's not the end. But for the glory of God." Sometimes we go through trials. Just remember, they're not unto death. It's never too late for Jesus. But God can get some glory out of this. You see, you can't have a test without a testimony. And a lot of the testimonies that we got them because we had to go through trying circumstances and trials. And Jesus says, but this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Through it, not outside of it, but through this circumstance, that God may be glorified. And now Jesus, verse 5 says, loved Martha and her sister and loved Lazarus. So, when he heard that Lazarus was sick, what happened? He dropped everything and went. He stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. Frustration. God, I need you to move now. Jesus waits 2 more days. He didn't even start making progress there yet. He's not just taking his time to get there. He don't even move from the place where he is. He is unmoved. Then after that, he said to his disciples, he said, let us go to Judea again. He stayed there for 2 days, the Bible says, on the other side of the Jordan River. And then the disciples come to Jesus and they say, Jesus, you can't go to Judea because there's people there that want to kill you. You can't go to Lazarus. It's too dangerous for you. And then John 11, verse 11, Jesus says these words. He says, these things, said he, after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth. He sleepeth, but I go that I may wake him out of his sleep. And the disciples are like, hey, Jesus, well, if he's asleep, you can read it yourself. Verse 12, if he's asleep, then he's going to wake up and get better. There's no use risking your life, Jesus, in going to Judea. If he's asleep, he'll wake up. It'll be all good. There's no use risking your life. And then Jesus said to them plainly, Jesus is dead. Lazarus is dead. And these words shocked me. Verse 15, throw that next slide up. It says, then Jesus said unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And what? I'm glad. Lazarus is dead. Jesus said to the disciples, Lazarus is dead, and I'm glad. Why is he glad? For your sakes. Disciples, I'm glad. Glad this has happened. I'm glad we've come to this point. Can you imagine how the disciples are thinking? Lazarus is dead, and I'm glad for your sakes. I'm glad that I wasn't there, that you may believe. You see, God is going to do something through this situation. Jesus is going to show them. He says, nevertheless, let us go to him. And then Thomas, who is called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, well, let us go also that we can die with Jesus. In other words, we already told you, Jesus, that you're going to die when you go to Judea. We already told you there's people that don't like you there. And then Thomas, he goes, well, let's go with Jesus and die then. Where was their faith? Lazarus is dead, and I'm glad. This tells us something about the nature of Jesus. You see, he's going to choose the best for us, regardless of the situation. All things work together for good to them that love God and that are called according to his purpose. All things. Not all things are good, but all things work together for good. And so this is what Jesus was saying. Lazarus is dead. That's not good, of course. He said, but it's going to work together for good so that your faith can be strengthened. You see, Jesus chose the big picture. He chose the picture, not just the instant, but something down the road because Jesus was about to die. He was about to go to the cross. He was about to be crucified, a bloody death on the cross. He was about to be shamed. It was all going to go down. It was going to be a terrible thing. And Jesus knew. He knew that they had to have faith that Jesus could rise again. They had to have faith. And so this circumstance of Lazarus being raised from the dead was going to help them have faith to believe that Jesus could raise himself from the dead. And you see, sometimes the circumstance that you are facing right now, God will allow you to go through that so that you can have faith for something else down the road. God is preparing you. You see, all things work together for good. All things work together for good. Jesus said, I'm glad that I wasn't there because this is going to work for your good. It's going to work for your good. It's never too late for Jesus. We don't like afterwards, do we? We don't like the process. You know, that's why these weight loss things. You know, we want to sell weight loss products, just use the word instant. Everyone's like, I'll buy it. Try anything. Nothing happens, you know. You just got to stop putting things in your mouth and do more exercise. That's how you do it, you know. None of these magic pills and all that sort of stuff. You know, everybody goes and buys it because we don't have to go through the process. But God wants to take us through the process. God had to take the children of God, the children of Israel, he had to take them through what? The wilderness to get to the promised land. It's these afterwards that we don't like. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11, it says this. It says, now no chastening for the present seems to be joyous. When God chastens us, it doesn't seem to be joyous. It says, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward. Everyone say afterward. We don't like the afterwards. We want to have it before the chastening. We don't want to have a chastening, but God says, the word of God says, now no chastening seems good, right? And when it's happening, it seems grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. You see, I've come to encourage someone today that it is these seasons of afterwards. God is going to show you exactly why it happened. God's going to show you. He's going to give you faith. Sometimes you've got to go through circumstances. Sometimes you've got to go through trials. Sometimes you've got to pray a prayer and God doesn't answer it. Sometimes you've got to call on God and he just stays unmoved for 2 days. But Jesus is never late. He's an on-time God. So what do you do when you've done everything that you know to do? You've called your prayer partner. You listened to a tape. You know, you've done everything that you know to do. And then things get worse. What do you do? The second point, miracles begin, one, with relationship. Number two, with release. Release is an important part. Faith. God, you can have it. It's in your hands now. God, the ball's in your court. I've done everything. I've laid awake at night and I couldn't add one cubit to my stature. I tried to solve these problems. I've done the spreadsheets. I've gone to doctors. I even went to Dr. Google. Couldn't find a solution there either. And eventually we say, God, it's yours. We release it. And releasing it is an important part of faith. I want to encourage someone that you need to get to the point of actually releasing it into God's hands. Because as long as you've got it in your hands, as long as you're holding onto the problem, as long as you're holding, listen carefully, as long as you're holding onto the problem, God can't touch it. Release. God, it's up to you. When you turn it over to God, when you release it, and that's what Mary and Martha did. They released it. They prepared Jesus' body for burial. Lazarus is dead, and I'm glad. Jesus is thinking, when they see what I do with Lazarus, when they see how I can raise him from the dead, then they're going to say, well, when I'm dying on the cross, they're going to say, well, if Jesus can raise Lazarus from the dead, then he can do it for himself. And there's a lot of circumstances where we have faith, where we have faith now, but that faith didn't just kind of sprout out of nowhere. We have faith because we've seen God move in the past. And that's what Paul was saying when he said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He wasn't blindly stepping out and saying, well, you know, I don't know anything, but you know, I'll just say this. I can do all things through Christ and da-da. No. It wasn't some blind leap of faith at all. In fact, I believe Paul said that statement looking back and thinking back over his whole life and saying, well, you know, when I think about this and how God moved there and how God provided here and how God healed there and how God worked there and how God made all that come to pass and he arranged everything just the way it had to be. He said, when I think about all of that, when I look at my circumstances ahead, I can do all things through Christ. If he did it for me then, he can do it for me now. And so that's where our faith comes from. And so Jesus knew, he said, they were about to go through a trying of their faith as Jesus hung on the cross. And so Jesus said, Lazarus is dead, and I'm glad. Lazarus died, and Jesus wasn't there. The family come, and they give their condolences. The funeral begins, Jesus wasn't there. The sad songs begin and she's still looking, but he never came. The long procession to the cemetery and she's still looking for Jesus. The stone has been put in place on the tomb. It seems like the end. The crowd disappears. It's just Mary and Martha, disillusioned and disappointment. And she's still watching. Anybody see Jesus coming? Maybe you've never experienced something like that, but let me tell you, someday you will. When you pray and there's no answer, you believed and he didn't come. In all of this, Martha had faith. She had someone looking out for Jesus. She was expecting. You see, expectation is the birthplace of the miraculous. Expectation is faith. It's not just faith, it's faith on steroids. I expect it to happen. And so she had someone waiting. And then she goes out to him and says, if you were here, she had enough faith if Jesus was there that he could have healed. And she said, even though he is already dead, I've still got faith. She never lost her faith. And so the biggest question, if you were here, where were you, Jesus? The biggest disappointment, it all included a statement of faith. And so John chapter 11, verse 34, we pick the story up again. And said, Jesus says, where have you laid him? He was laid to rest. Then said unto him, Lord, come and see. What did Jesus do? This is my favorite memory verse. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, behold how he loveth him. And some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Their faith is failing as well. Well, Jesus, if you were here, he would have died. Jesus, therefore, again groaning in himself. He's like, frustration, he's thinking. Groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave and a stone had been laid upon it. See, sometimes we talked about release. But sometimes there is peace in quitting. When we quit, it releases it. You don't have the pain of expectation anymore. Sometimes it feels good to quit, but God cannot restore it unless you dare to believe again. God cannot restore it unless you dare to believe it again. You will never get restoration until you confront, listen carefully, you will never get restoration. You will never get the answer to your prayer until you're willing to confront that smelly situation again. To come back and say, I believe. Lord, if you had been here, it would have happened. But even now, I know that you're still the answer for my stinking problem. And Jesus says, listen, he says this. He says, take me to the spot where you stopped believing. Take me to the spot where you stopped having faith. Take me back there and dare to believe again. And the stone had been rolled in front of the tomb. They had pretty much given up. In verse 39, it says, Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, you want us to take the stone away? By this time, he stinketh, for he has been dead 4 days. And Jesus said unto her, Lord, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away, they have to believe again. They took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it. The only reason I said, Lord, hear me, is because I want everybody around to know who I'm talking to. Or who I'm talking to. And he says, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice. And what did he say? He used his name. He says, Lazarus, come forth. Some people say that he had to say Lazarus, because with the power of Jesus' word, if he had just said, come forth, everyone in every grave would have come forth. And he that was dead, what happened? He came forth. He came forth bound in hand and foot and grave clothes. You know, when you're bound up, your hands and your feet, you got grave clothes around you. Let me tell you how Lazarus come forth. He was bound, it says, in hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus said unto them, loose him and let him go. I'm here to encourage someone today. The musicians could come. It's never too late for Jesus. It's never too late for Jesus. It's never too late for Jesus. Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there nothing too hard for me? Nothing is too hard. Where are you today? What circumstances are in your life? Maybe something has died and it seems like it's all over. You've gone even further and you've rolled a stone in front of that old tomb and said it's too late. Let me tell you, miracles start with relationship. Miracles start when you release it to God. And Jesus says to them, he says, take me back to that place where you first lost your faith. We're going to have to face that again. We're going to have to face that stinking problem. We're going to have to roll that tomb back and to go back and look at that problem again. We're going to have to face it again. And somebody right now, you haven't, God hasn't answered your prayer and you still pray. Maybe you've given up. But let me tell you, take Jesus back to where you first lost your faith and say, God, I dare to believe again that you're more than able. Take him to that problem. Yes, it smells. Yes, you don't like to confront it. You don't want to be there. But let me tell you, it's never too late for Jesus. There's a beautiful promise there for all of us today. As we leave this place, remember that it's never too late. Maybe it's a relationship thing. Maybe it's a financial thing. Maybe it's a personal problem. But it's never too late for Jesus. Something that you have rolled a stone in front of. You thought it was gone. It was over. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about faith. Lazarus came walking out or hopping out. It's not over. It's never too late for Jesus. You may have rolled a stone in front of it. You may have given up. You may be losing your faith. But hey, it's not too late for Jesus. Can you imagine their eyes as Lazarus come out? You know, he wasn't perfect yet. They had to loose him and let him go. But out he comes. The prayer is answered. Because it's never too late for Jesus. Come on, everybody, stand. Let's lift our hands right now. Let God just move in your heart right now. God is speaking to somebody. Let's be sensitive to those that God is speaking to you right now. God is speaking. Oh, God. For those that are here today, oh, God, with every trial, every problem they face, oh, God, help us, oh, God, to go back. Lord, maybe we've rolled a stone in front of it and said it's all over. Lord, that we would take you back to that place where we first lost our faith. Knowing, Lord God, that you are the answer to the stinking things in our life, to the dead things in our life. Lord Jesus, help us to have faith that as we cry out to you, God, that you hear us. Oh God, lest you may delay, but your delays are never your denials. Lord, you may delay, but you will never deny. Lord, you may be silent, but you were never absent. I thank you, Lord, that you were there through the highs and the lows. You were there through the good and the bad. You were there through every season. Lord, help us to believe again. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. Eye has not seen and ear has not heard what God has in store for them that love him. It's never too late.